What's going on, everyone? We're back. And this is Double M Media, where sports and the urban life collide. And you already know we got all three of us in the building today. We got Mr. Smooth, Mr. Cool, Mike Nice.
Oh, what an honor and a pleasure. I appreciate you, guy. So much to say about me, but we'll just keep it at that.
There is a lot to say about you, Mike. I just wanted to keep it to Smooth and
keep
cool
it just right as now. That, bro. Just as that.
And then, you know, you got the beautiful, often opinionated.
Often.
Miss T-Max in the building.
Thank you. I don't like how you guys said often so many times, but feels good to be back. Yeah. I'm so excited. We definitely got some heavy hitters.
And I'm DJ Mies. And guys, I'm excited, man. We've been off for 2 weeks
now. 2 weeks.
2 weeks getting things ready for, you know, the summertime.
Summer run.
Double M is going to be fun.
Summertime fine.
If you are watching live right now, that means the chat is open. It's popping. Get on it. Have conversations with us.
Spread the word about us.
Yeah, and spread it out. You know,
let people know we out here.
We are live right now. If you are not watching live, you are streaming through iTunes. What else?
Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher.
Yeah.
We're on radio.com now.
Oh!
So if you're listening today, we appreciate you. Thank you. And also spread the word as well. This is Double M Media. And how we started off every time is we ask T-Mac what is on the playlist.
Thank you. And I'm happy to report today's playlist. We're going to touch base with Andre Iguodala. I knew I wasn't going to get it. Let me try again.
Try one more time. You got this.
Andre Iguodala.
Yes.
Iggy. Cousin Iggy.
I'm going to call him Andre Iggy. Then we, you Say know, Iggy, it is the 10-year anniversary for Michael Jackson, so we definitely got to give him a quick tribute. Michael.
I mean, that is my name. Named after
Mike
the GOAT.
Mike is going to take care of that for MJ. And then we're going to definitely talk about Bernie Sanders and how he might just be saving my life. Okay? But then, last but not least, we definitely got our relationship topic for the week. You know, those always get hot. And Mike always says something
Don't
crazy.
Don't say my
so
name.
I just can't be minding wait to my get business. To that. But let's definitely start this off. Andre Iguodala.
There we go.
That's so tough.
I can't do it. So he's writing a book. And he was on the Breakfast
Club. He has a book. The Sixth Man.
So he was on the Breakfast Club promoting his book. And we all know, so Andre Iggy, he was hurt in the playoffs last year, just like KD was. And, you know, it was put out there that he had a bone that was bruised when really it was a fractured. So he's kind of just, you know, putting it out there that this isn't the first time that the NBA has kind of covered up a serious injury.
Or the Warriors.
The Warriors, definitely. And then they also get to this conversation during the interview about the world's like most hated commentator. And that's when Mark Jackson comes up. And then they talk about how he is allegedly being blackballed from the NBA as coaching. So he was fired back in 2014. So he hasn't coached since.
He has not.
And, you know, we know that he was extremely religious. And what they're saying is, of course, you know, there's openly gay men within the facility and upper ownership in that particular team. Right. So for him to be, you know, as super religious as he is, and it's just a lot of controversy, and there's a lot of things being said as to why he is not coaching no more. And we all know that he kind of is the reason why the Warriors kind of became, you know,
we got it started,
a better team. Like, he definitely put that into momentum. So for him to not be able to coach again, it's kind of strange. What do you guys think?
Yeah, so let's talk about Mark Jackson first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Mark Jackson, as we all know, you said it, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, got fired in 2014. And the firing was always like a question mark, right? We knew he had problems with upper management, but that was all that came out.
No one knew why he was fired.
All of a sudden,
team was on the rise.
Yeah, team was on the rise. And in 2016, 2017, 2018, anytime there's a vacancy in coaching, Mark Jackson's one of the first coaches' names that get brought up.
And gets hired.
Let Mark Jackson get this job. Mark Jackson should be a great coach. And it's not he doesn't get hired, Mike. He doesn't even get interviewed. He doesn't get interviewed at all for none of these. He doesn't
get a call back.
And his coaching resume is not bad. Like we just said, we know what he's done for the Golden State Warriors. So Andre Iguodala comes out and says, hey, you know, yes, Mark Jackson was very religious and he was very outspoken about his religion out there. So that's one thing. And, you know, in his beliefs, gay marriage was one of the things that he did not agree with. The owner of the Golden State Warriors is openly gay. So right there, that should, you know, put an alarm like, whoa, there had to have been a lot of friction.
True.
Right there between there. And then, you know, owners, they come together. Owners are
it's like a brotherhood.
Clan.
Yeah.
They're right. A clan. So if you mess with our money any sort of way, we just not going to mess with you at all. And that's why Andre Iguodala is saying, hey, I think he may be blackballed. And that may be the case.
But was it that he was necessarily messing with their money? I mean, he kind of just was expressing his opinion, I feel like.
You're a head coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you start expressing things that are not the norm.
That's offending people. I get what you mean, yeah.
It can mess up anything.
It can mess up some dollars. What do you think, Mike?
At the end of the day, Mark Jackson was just the head coach. Like, head coach is important. It's an important role for an organization. But head coach, owner of the team. Easy decision. Mark Jackson was out the door. And, I mean, like Marv said a lot, it sucks that with all these vacancies that have taken place, he hasn't filled a void anywhere for any team. You got teams going, hiring college coaches, going overseas and grabbing. You know, the Cavs had a vacancy before they got Tyronn Lue. They went and got David Blatt from overseas. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they had a vacancy after Scott Brooks was gone. They took Billy Donovan from college. You know, teams have gone different places and gotten coaches who maybe have zero NBA experience. You're talking about some guys never coached in the NBA, never played in the NBA. I think a lot of players will probably agree and say that the best coaches they have or had are former players.
In the NBA.
In the NBA, yes. Yeah. Mark Jackson, a former player. And like we were also talking about, you could see, and if you're a fan of the NBA, if you don't understand and can acknowledge the fact that Golden State is where they are today because how Mark Jackson formed that team, how they came together, if you can't understand and acknowledge that, then you haven't been paying attention. The Golden State Warriors have had a great run. You know, they tried to three-peat this year. They got their rings over the last couple of years. But it all got started due to what Mark Jackson put together with that team. I think when we were listening to the Iguodala on the Breakfast Club, he was saying how Mark Jackson, the guy who came out and said, you know, years ago, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are probably going to be the greatest backcourt ever to play in the NBA. And at the time, 7-8 years ago, people looking at Mark Jackson like, what are you talking about? These two young guys, they haven't really done anything, proved anything. Fast forward to 2019. What are people saying about Steph Curry and Klay Thompson? One guy's arguably the greatest shooter, not arguably, the greatest shooter of all time, and Klay Thompson not that far behind him. Guys have racked up MVP awards, all-star appearances, all NBA team appearances. Mark Jackson got it started. And the fact that everything he's done, all other 29 teams in the NBA haven't said, let's bring this guy in and see if he could get something started like he did with the Warriors. Team is even giving him a chance, a shot opportunity. I think there's some validity to what Iguodala was saying.
Andre even goes on to say that Mark Jackson is one of his favorite coaches. He's one of his favorite coaches that he's ever played for. He says he's the reason why he even got paid. You know,
right.
He gives him a lot of credit. So sure obviously does. His coaching skills are there.
I mean, no one's going to deny Mark Jackson's talent as a coach. Everyone can see it. But it goes down to this, right? Something we always hear, even when we're younger. At the dinner table, when you're out with someone, you don't talk about politics. You don't talk about religion.
Right.
That's always been something that's been, you know, because that can cause problems.
You it's don't like
know.
You have freedom of speech, but like, you really got to monitor it always what you cause, say.
It, yeah. causes, it always causes trouble. It always causes problems, whatever. And Mark Jackson, as we hearing through Andre Iguodala's interview, I didn't know this, but he was very religious. You know, he would ask the brothers to come to church with him if they wanted to and things like
that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
It's not nothing wrong, but in the climate that we're in.
Yeah.
It comes off as sounding as if, I mean, yes, Iguodala didn't say this in the interview, but when you really look at him blackballed and he's not getting a job because that went down with him and the owner or the friction there, it's kind of sounds as if Mark Jackson is walking around, you know, the team and the organization when he was there, kind of like calling dude out or saying disrespectful right. things, which I don't believe is the case.
Right.
You telling me just because you know this guy is openly gay and you know Mark Jackson has his religious views, there was just a huge clash there. Like, that's what I really wish I could understand.
Mark Jackson is an idiot. Like, he's not gonna just walk around saying, knowing the owner is openly gay.
But that's why they fired him. Like, no, he's not an idiot. I don't think he was outlandish about anything like that. I don't think he disrespected the owner, but he probably behind closed doors has some things to say about the owner being and not agreeing.
But that kind of makes Mark Jackson look like an idiot. Like, you don't agree with him, your religious views, okay. Your job is the coach.
Right.
I don't think the owner, I don't know his name right now, but like, I don't think the coach and that owner is having too much interaction on a day-to-day basis. Like, the owner has a lot of things to worry about, being the owner of a team, trying to, you know, continue to bring money into the team or get the sponsors or whatever the case is. And Mark Jackson literally just has to put the team on the basketball court and try to win games. Mm-hmm. So how much interaction could they possibly have had to really cause that much friction?
The fact that Mark Jackson does not have a coaching job today means it was something. Like, this is not just some regular owner.
Yeah. We're
talking about how he's the brains behind the All-Star game. You know, he's the brains about a lot of things to forward the NBA. So this is not just anybody
right.
that he
has
offended.
A lot of control.
And so, and like we mentioned earlier, the owners have a clan. They all stick together. You remember what was that racist owner's name from the Clippers?
What is his name?
If you are watching the live stream, please remind me. I think it was like Donnie or something. Donald Sterling, right. Donald Sterling.
Sounds like Donald Trump.
Owners knew he was...
Close enough.
Owners knew he was a racist SOB for years. It's not like what happened in 2013 or whatever the year was. It was a shock.
Yeah, but, I'm sure he's been at dinner parties with the owners and said some wild stuff.
It's a clan. They're together. Until something gets out there, then it's like, okay, you're making us look back. You got to go. But owners been known in the 80s, 90s, who Donald Sterling was.
Yeah.
They knew his character. But when you're part of a clique, that's what happens.
Let's circle back to Andre Iguodala mentioning his injury. You know, similar to what's going on with KD right now. Let's just touch base on that, because when he was in the playoff and he had the bruised bone and it was really a fractured and they covered it up, do you think that this is something that they're just used to doing and ready to do?
Yeah, I think.
Without even thinking twice about it?
That's a problem.
I think many teams do that. I don't think this is just the Warriors. Right. I don't even think this is just in the NBA. This is sports, you know,
everywhere.
Teams in general. But it's obviously getting brought to the light now. But between this year and last year, the way the Warriors handled KD's situation and Iguodala's situation, it makes the team look very bad. And I think this year, if you look at KD, obviously they know if Kevin Durant's on the floor and he's playing basketball, it gives them, the team, the best chances to win. Last year, they know after previous finals encounters with LeBron James, Iguodala is the best person to cover LeBron James. You're talking about guys that are necessary for different reasons, but very necessary. And if the team can find any way possible way to get this guy back on the court or make the injury seem not as serious, they'll do it. We saw it this year with Kevin Durant. We saw it last. Iguodala talked about it with his injury last year. It's a very bad look for teams and organizing when it comes out.
This is telling me KD's gone. Like, this is unacceptable. Like Sam said, Warriors medical staff is booty water. Like, you have so many people coming at you. Iguodala saying, yo, I had a fracture. They're coming out saying it's a bone bruise. So now you have my teammates asking me, yo, what's good? When you coming back?
Exactly, bone bruise.
I got the meat. You know the media. Media's all in your face, yeah. Saying, yo, what's going on with Iguodala? Bone bruise, he should be back 2 to 3 weeks. Same thing with KD, and KD's more magnified. This is the MVP. Now he's going to be the savior. Okay, it was just a calf injury. He should be back game 4. Okay, he should be back game 5. And your teammates, once again, they just think it's a calf injury. So KD, what's up, bro?
That's right. It.
What's going on?
And then the media, of course, saying, you know, toughen up, get back
we
out
love,
there.
We love that. As fans, we love that story.
Like, if
the
that
comeback
was
story.
This person, they would be out there, you know, pushing through it. And it's just like, your health comes first. Like, you have to just keep that in mind. You never want to push somebody too far or over the limit where you jeopardize their health. You know?
And we don't care, though. As fans, media. Like, think about the Michael Jordan flu game. There's an anniversary for that. When that day happens, people are like, oh, man, the 10th or 20-year anniversary of Michael Jordan's flu game because he battled through sickness and he played well. We love that story. It's attraction in sports for us.
And Sam just brought up a good point talking about, you know, people wondered why. Kawhi did get a lot of flack for it about him missing out and then wanting to leave the Spurs because Kawhi understood, like, the Spurs are trying to do him dirty and put him in a situation where he's not capable of playing, but they want him out there, and they're pushing it to him, the media, they're pushing him on the court. But I think at the same time, you probably have players like KD or Iguodala where, you know, they're not doctors. If you're laying up on the table and the doctors is looking at your leg and telling you, like, okay, well, you know, you just got a bruise, you might be good to go. As a player, you're like, hey, whatever I could do, it's the NBA Finals, whatever I could do to get back on the court, if you're telling me, you know, I'm good to go, I'm good to go. That's one situation. Look at it, but then you probably have a guy like Kawhi who says, "I don't feel right and I shouldn't be playing." I mean, these are athletes. Sometimes they want to do whatever they can to be on the court and play, and then sometimes they know, "Look, I don't feel right and I should not be playing on the court." So,
and with that, going back to just how do you face these type of conflicts? Kawhi got killed not only by the media. By his own team.
Yeah, by his team. Because they don't know either. They're just players. They're not medical staff.
Tony Parker came out and said, my injury was way worse than Kawhi's, and I still play. Like, his teammates would come. Of course Kawhi wanted out. He was getting criticized. And you know that's all Pop. You know, as great as Pop is, but he was behind closed doors telling his guys, like, yo, you need to, you know, start firing up Kawhi here and get him going. And Kawhi wasn't having none of that.
It just really goes back to make it look like the medical staff. And like I said, it's not just with the Warriors. It probably happens with other teams as well. I think back to, what's the year the Celtics had Shaq? Was that 2000 and...
Say again?
The year the Celtics had Shaq. That one...
2013?
Whatever year they had Shaq.
You know, Mike get old, his memory fading.
Whatever year they had Shaq, all right?
And they shot him in the leg?
He missed the majority of the season, but once it got to the playoffs, and I think they were playing the Heat in whatever round it was. My memory's really lapsing right now. But Shaq didn't last like 12 minutes. He should have never been on the court.
He was done.
Because after he went down with that Achilles injury that, you know, probably was hampering him all year, once he went down, he retired after that. Shaq was done.
And the thing is, Shaq balled.
Oh, when Shaq was healthy, that lineup, that starting lineup with Shaq, Ray Allen, Pierce, Rondo, and KG was a force.
Shaq balled. Even the game he came back into the playoffs when he only lasted 12 minutes.
Yeah.
I think Rondo threw him an alley. I remember it. And everyone was like, oh.
But then Shaq ran up the court, looked at his foot like, yeah, it's over for me. Shaq knew it was a wrap for
him. But I do have one last question before we move on to our next topic. Now that Andre Iguodala came out and said these things about Mark Jackson, do you think that now that, you know, it's being talked about, the NBA might budge and give him a coaching job? to kind of like cover their end.
This doesn't look, make Mark Jackson look good.
Yeah.
This doesn't.
You don't think they would do it just to be like, oh, no, we didn't. We got this job right here.
I personally think Mark Jackson deserves a coaching job.
I agree.
I do too.
He still does. We don't know exactly what happened behind the scenes with ownership. Like, one thing we did know, they was colliding. And I think just his religion thing was just one piece of the puzzle to what
everything
that's going on. He is being blackballed. And it's not anything Adam Silver can do, really. I mean, he can say, hey,
Adam Silver can't do anything. Team's not going to hire him, interview him. Like, Adam Silver can't force a job.
At least give him the interview.
Yeah, they can force interviews.
Just to laugh in his face?
They can force interviews, but that's pretty much it. They don't need to hire him, so.
Well, I don't put it out the realm of possibility of him getting a job again, but like, It's looked bad over the last couple of years, and like Marv said, this Iguodala interview doesn't make it look much better. But
I think that
there goes that man.
He does a great job, great color commentator.
I think it might give him a nudge. I think it could possibly work out in his favor now that this is being brought to the light. Something might get done. I hope so.
Seth said he'll never coach the NBA again. They probably think he will bench players if they're not Christian.
Sam's
oh my crazy. Goodness.
But let's move on to our second topic of the night. We got to talk MJ. So it's his 10-year anniversary after his death. Michael Jackson passed away June 25th, 2009. So there was a lot of super fans. That's what they're calling them on the news. They organized a large display of flowers at his burial site. But let's just talk a little bit about Michael's death, because there was a really big controversy over what was going on with that. So he died of an overdose on propofol. Is that how you pronounce it? Propofol?
Some sleeping medicine.
It was administrated to him by the very doctor he hired to take care of him and look after him. You know,
a lot of funny business.
With a that. Lot. So I've had so many arguments about this.
Sleeping issues. And so, right. But the thing is, this is the crazy part, is that propofol is a type of anesthesia. So it's only really supposed to be used for like medical procedures and like to help people relax. It's not supposed to be used on a regular basis to help somebody sleep. It's more so for like surgeries. And it even has like, you know, effects on your brain and your neurons, and it can mess you up. It can mess you up a lot. And so it's really used to try to sedate people in a way, but for medically, not to go to sleep at night, you know? So there was a really big controversy for his death and how he died. So what did you think about that?
Start off with, where were you?
10 years ago,
when you found out that news, where were you, Mike?
I was in my cousin's backyard. I think we had just finished playing basketball on the blacktop. And
people who are watching as well, let us know, where were you 10 years ago when you found out MJ's death?
Yeah, he's playing basketball and we just got the news. Now, before I get into the rest, put this out there first. I'm a big Michael Jackson fan.
We know.
I'm a big Michael Jackson fan. Everybody who knows me knows I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan. I love his music. So when I found out, I was overcome by emotions, you know. I felt really sad. I was not at that time. I'll let you know when I really started crying. But at that moment, I sat down. I was like, whoa, this, I couldn't believe it. And literally, my cousin is looking at me like, what's wrong with you? You're like, are you stupid? Why are you sad? No, I did not start bawling it, but I was really sad. When I really did start bawling is after watching his memorial service at the Staples Center. I started crying after watching that, because it was just
a lot of people.
It was emotional. It was emotional. But that's where I was.
Where were you, T-Mac?
2009.
Fourth grade.
I was in middle school.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. So I think I was coming home from somewhere, and I got in the house, and it was on the news. And what?
I'm listening.
I'm sorry. I read the comments. Sam's a fool.
And it was on the TV, and my grandmother was watching it, and my mom was in the house. And I remember my mom, because she loves Michael Jackson and Prince. Like, those are her two favorites.
I don't know too much about Prince.
And I remember she was just really upset, and then my grandmother was sad, and they were just like, oh my goodness. And then I was like, what's going on? And then that's what happened my day. I wasn't as emotional as Mike was, but it was sad.
I was emotional, I ain't gonna lie.
What about you, Marv? Where were you?
I remember I had football training camp that day. and me, shout out to my boy Weez. We were just in the gym working out, and we had another one of our teammates, not the brightest cat in the book. And, you know, he gets a. You remember back then, you used to get the chain text all the time. And if you don't send it, you know, you'll have bad luck for 30 years.
Back in the old
texting days. So he gets a text, and he's just like, "Yo, guys, did Michael Jackson die?" We started clowning him. Like, we started roasting. Like, why the hell you think Michael Jackson? No, dummy. So while we're working out, Jammin' 94.5 is on. Next thing you know, they just start playing Michael Jackson randomly. Like, yo, that's weird. Okay, playing Michael Jackson. We start dancing in the gym to Michael Jackson, having a good time. And then all of a sudden, Romero, who's in Jammin' 94.5 at the time, was like, "Yes, guys, it's true. Michael Jackson has passed." And I couldn't, yo. We stopped working out. We didn't practice no more. It was just a shock. I remember going back on the bus back home, and just I seen so many people. I could tell they knew, and everyone's head was just down.
The world was
shocked. Sad day, man.
Went home, moms was crying, and it was just like the world stopped for like a month.
Did you bawl your eyes out too?
I didn't. I don't think I remember crying. Tear?
But you keep worrying about people crying.
I was devastated.
I just want to know.
I didn't cry.
You dropped one tear.
No, I didn't.
Two tears.
I don't understand.
I don't get it.
You don't understand what I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
You
I
don't
think
understand the
words. No, Mike told me that you shedded a tear.
I never said that to her.
I know who Mike was 10 years ago. So
he told me that you did. That's what he said.
Not you literally just spewing out lies right now.
No, I'm not. That's what happened, but everyone was filled with emotions. I remember so many celebrities just devastated and coming out and just speaking on like their Michael Jackson moment. I remember Chris Brown came out and said, like, I got to talk to him over the phone, and how like the phone went in and out and it broke up. But he was like, even just for that 5 seconds of like Michael Jackson potentially being on the phone speaking to him, he was just so moved by it. And so many celebrities just were just praising him and his work and everything that he contributed to the industry, you know?
Yeah, man, this guy, you know, it's unfortunate in 2019, all the news that's coming out on his name, whether true or false. You know, that's
we'll keep it good, you know, that's a topic to honor him
that we've already had on this show as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, just we remember his legacy 10 years ago. It's one of those shocking deaths. It's not like it was a legend.
Do you guys think the doctor was responsible for what happened?
I mean, no.
All right, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey.
Listen.
Explain yourself.
I know Propofol, whatever the case of it being administered, it's only supposed to be used. Michael Jackson hired a doctor to just take care of him.
Right.
Break it down however you want it. Should he have been taken and should he have not?
He hired a doctor.
He hired
a doctor.
A lot of money.
Doctors, but we didn't hire.
He hired a doctor, you know, to do a job, and the doctor messed up and didn't do something right. That's all I'm going to say about it. Yeah, you could go back and forth. Should he been taking the stuff? Should he not been taking the stuff? What was extra, this and that? All I know is a doctor went to trial. I think he made the jail time, or he's hiding out somewhere right now on the island somewhere, hiding from some people, probably trying to go after him. But the doctor clearly messed up something.
Right.
So that's all I believe about it.
Well, you have a list for us, don't you?
Yeah. So, you know, everybody, I don't think you can find too many people who don't know about Michael Jackson. There's kids who know about Michael Jackson. I've joked with little kids about Michael Jackson, and I'll say a little joke thinking that maybe it'll just go over their head, but they'll know who he is and they'll know some of his songs. So it's good to see that his legacy, his music still continues. Put aside all the extra stuff going along with him, his music lives forever. And yes, he has many popular songs that a lot of people know that could come on right now on the radio, on whatever, on your speaker, and you'll start singing it because you know it. But I have some songs that people probably don't know about or haven't heard too much of, that don't get a lot of the notoriety that the other big songs do, like Thriller or Human Nature and stuff like that. So 5 songs, I want you to get a chance to Google, go on YouTube, look these songs up and listen to if you haven't heard them before. First song. This is one of my favorite songs for sure. It's called This Place Hotel. It's off the Triumph album by the Jacksons, but Michael Jackson performed this song solo. He told his brothers, yeah, cool, I got this one. He really told his brothers, yeah, cool, I got this one, and came out with a song called This Place Hotel or Heartbreak Hotel. And Michael Jackson did that in his early, you know, early years when he was still with the Jacksons. Another song, PYT, but the demo version.
Jam.
The original, everyone knows the original PYT that came out, but if you Google or YouTube the demo version of the song, sometimes I'll listen to that and I'll say this demo version is really dope. So get a chance to Google the demo version of PYT. Next song is called A Place With No Name off the Escape album. That album came up, that album came out, but one thing that's always said about Michael Jackson is he's a perfectionist. So these songs and albums that came out after he died, they may sound good, they may sound great, but people will never fully know if they got the Michael Jackson stamp of approval because he's no longer with us, unfortunately. But with that being said, A Place With No Name off the Escape album is a great song. One More Chance off the Number Ones album that came out, that song right there,
One More Chance, top five.
Off the Number Ones album. My goodness, I listened to that song. That song has got me through some times. When I was feeling a certain type of way, you listen to One More Chance, and it's just a smooth, it's a smooth song. It's a smooth song. And the last song I have, you know, Michael Jackson wasn't known for this, but he did have a little busy to him. And a song called Break of Dawn off the Invincible album. You listen to that?
Because that was in the 90s now, so Michael had to get a little R&B.
Invincible was early 2000. I think that album came out of 2001. That's me trying to dance with Chris Tucker, you know, making the You Rock My World video and all of that. But Break of Dawn off the Invincible album. Check those five songs out if you haven't heard them before. Give him a listen. Michael Jackson.
So, Mike, you know, since your name is Mike and we're talking about Michael Jackson, you think you can give us a little sample of something? I mean, you got your backup singer / dancer and DJ right here.
You know,
I'm sure y'all got something y'all could just,
back in college, Marv, myself and our other guy, Jamal, there was an open mic event. And I don't know what inspired us. But we went up on stage. And we sang Human Nature.
Can I hear it?
That's a fact, Jack.
Can y'all just give me a little song?
We're missing our third member here, so it's not going to sound right.
Just a little sample.
Looking out.
Okay. Marv, that's your cue.
No.
Come on. The people want to hear it. Give us
I gave the sample.
When Dr. Miz come out, maybe he might do it.
Oh, man. I don't even want to know no more.
Right now.
Y'all could have gave us a little something, but okay.
Next topic.
Make sure y'all check out Mike's list for the Michael Jackson's classics. You know, RIP, and, you know, we're gonna keep it positive for Michael Jackson. But our next topic, Bernie Sanders. So, long story short, he said he wants to forgive all student loan debt. Now,
that'd be great.
I am 100%.
That's cute.
On board with that. But this is the problem. He doesn't really have... Well, he didn't really say a plan for this. He kind of just stated it, and people took it as, well, you know, that's a nice gesture, and I'm sure that it would get you, you know, some votes, but how are you going to do this? How is this going to work? But then you have Senator Elizabeth Warren, who introduced the plan before him. So her plan was to make public colleges tuition-free, while canceling outstanding student debt for a majority of borrowers. Not everyone, but a majority. And she made it so that, you know, lawyers and doctors who, you know, took loans out for their degrees are part of that majority. So they would receive about $50,000 per person to help, you know, get rid of their student debt. See, now I'm not a part of that majority, and that's why I have a problem with it. You know, I need it to be for all students, and I need to hear a plan, you know?
It ain't happening.
A lot of people, like, even when I posted this on my Instagram and my Snap, you know, because I was really excited when I saw it, but a lot of people were telling me that I shouldn't get my hopes up.
You shouldn't.
He's just talking it's that talk. Cute. Y'all think so?
It's super cute.
I'm saying it's a cute little thing.
He's not the first person to say that.
I need it to happen now that I'm done with school.
We all need it to happen.
Please. I mean, student
we gotta have faith.
Student debt is one of the worst things in the world. I mean, people
it's
call
the biggest
college
stressor in my life.
People call college a scam for that reason of all the money that, you know, you have to. Some people pay their lifetime paying this thing. And especially in Massachusetts where everything's already expensive and you gotta add on student debt through it. It's tough. People don't want to continue further in their education knowing that they have to pay so much debt. So it sounds amazing.
Sure does.
If you could get it done, yeah, sure.
Please do.
My vote will go to Bernie Sanders. That's not happening.
It's not happening. Not happening.
Nobody
not happening.
Has any faith. Mike, what you think about it?
You need me to spell it out for you? Well, it's in the comments too.
I don't know who you talking to, but I'm just asking a question. You ain't got to get all crazy with me.
Okay, let me.
I just want to know your opinion.
Let me give you my opinion very clearly.
You see what happens when you're gone for 2 weeks, you come back, people don't know how to act.
Oh my goodness. Can I talk?
Yeah, now.
It's not happening. It's coming in the comments. People are, you're not fooling us. We're not stupid. You can say all you want. He guy's running for president. He can say everything that sound good.
Where's the wall?
I just want to see a plan. Like, I feel like he's saying it, but he's not backing it up. Okay,
of course he won't, because it ain't happening. It,
you know?
T-Mac, he's running for president. They'll say whatever they can sometimes to make people look and say, oh, I like that guy. I like that girl. They might get my vote. They'll say whatever. You really think your student loans is just going to evaporate?
How old are Bernie Sanders?
Marv.
Here we stop. Marv. Marv.
I asked a question.
Marv.
He's 77.
Marv.
He's 77.
It's not that man's fault. If
the man's 77 years old. You guys want him to go stress to fight for student debt?
Oh,
he needs to be on vacation.
He's a healthy 77.
Guy, he needs to be in an island somewhere. Just relax.
The guy's so getting ready to run for president.
No, he can't run. He can't run.
Why you? First of all, that's ageism.
That's it's not,
never heard.
You're
what
discriminating man? Against age.
Oh my gosh.
Man is not running for nothing. So let's change the term.
Y'all ain't right. So if this, all right, so let's just say you want to get rid of student loan debt. What would be your plan? Like, what do you think?
You would have to
find Sally Mae Corporation Center and burn that. burn that mother to the ground. And any file they got on my name, gone. Wells Fargo, burn it all down.
Avion,
burn it.
Boom. They all got to go.
Burn
no,
it.
Really, like, okay, so taxes. You think
you got to tax the hell out of people, and that's not going to go well at all. It's just not going to, it's not going to happen, guys.
It's America,
so,
Jack.
I'm so sorry.
Because other Jack. Places do it. Other places have
other places ain't America.
High taxes, and their students go to school for free. So you don't think that can work in America?
Look, like you said, if they can come out with a well planned out,
where's the wall?
Show me. You got to really show people something. Marlon, where's the wall? If you could come out with a well organized plan that can show us how it would work, maybe you make some people turn their heads and say, what this guy really talking about? But until we see that, it ain't happening.
Would you rather pay the high taxes than for your education? I think that by having education be free, it could definitely benefit, you know, the middle lower class, because those are the people suffering the most. Those are the people who can't by any means get further their education, because think about it, the process that we went through, having to have a cosigner, that cosigner has to have good credit. When you're in the lower middle class, you might not necessarily, especially people of color, you might not necessarily know anyone with good credit who can co-sign for your loan, who could help you take that loan out and carry that burden and end up with all the student loan debt. Like, they don't even have the option. So I feel like, would you rather pay the higher taxes? That way, you know, maybe you can shift the scale and, you know, others can have an opportunity to further their education.
As long in this America that it doesn't benefit the 1%, doesn't matter if it will benefit middle class lower class.
It's not changing.
It won't change. As long as the 1% doesn't benefit from it, unfortunately, in America, like, this is a capitalism, as people have been saying, it just wouldn't work. Daphne brought up something crazy. She said, my kids are going to pay off my loans with my life insurance policy. Like, that thought process right there is this crazy, and showing you how expensive student debt is.
I got a question for you guys, because I've been doing my research. I don't think you guys understand how much I want this to work.
We get it. It's just, I'm
so, you just need to stop. I don't wait, and I got my bachelor's and my master's, so my student loan debt is double of what I needed to be, you know.
So you voting for Bernie Sanders right now?
But listen, I've been doing some research, and what a lot of people have done. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to do this. I just was doing research. A lot of people are moving to Canada because their debt can't follow them there.
We the North.
So,
do got some cousins. You have some cousins up north.
So we to up north. But listen, hypothetically speaking, now I'm not saying I'm doing this, and I'm not saying y'all doing it. But hypothetically, would you consider moving to Canada to get rid of your debt?
Canada, real nice place. Been a couple times. Canada, real nice.
Now,
Canada hasn't treated me wrong.
Prior to this, I was actually considering
one time.
You know,
I wouldn't move to Canada. Canada too cold, but
it's a thought.
I mean, it's a thought. Maybe go there for 5-10 years.
Right, come back. Maybe they forgot about you. Nah,
poke my head.
You're gonna step foot back in the U.S. They're gonna be like, there he is. Get him. They're gonna get you. But what are our comments saying?
This talking about how the economy is set up. My kid Sam said the economy is set up. My kids are gonna be going to college on YouTube for free.
Sure. What's that college that Romeo used to?
What's that song?
ICDC College.
I said ICDC
College.
That was a rough time for Romeo.
What are you doing sitting on your couch? Get up and call right now.
But it was that other dude standing in the parking lot.
That's him. He's like, no, you're not gonna wait till tomorrow.
Yep, that
dude. You're not gonna put it off. You gotta get up and do it right now.
BET. Played that commercial.
People know that commercial verbatim, bro.
Oh my god.
Everybody's kids is going to ICDC college, okay? Everybody's kids.
Oh man.
Some of the fellas talking about Canada. Hey, we to the north, guys.
See, I told you, but that's just hypothetical.
Just stay out of Montreal, Marv. Just stay out of Montreal.
I can't go back to Montreal.
Just stay out of Montreal. Whatever you do, T Mac. Another day.
Why he gotta say y'all never tell me nothing?
Another day.
It's too long.
We not going. You won't be here at 10 o'clock.
Anyways, let's move on to our last topic for the night. We saved this one for last because we know how hectic it gets, and we know how crazy he might get when he talks about.
Keep saying my name.
It comes to relationships. All right, so here's the question for you guys, and definitely our viewers. We need you to chime in on this. Just because we know that Mike, again, he ain't in the right state of mind sometimes.
Oh, gosh. Marv's over there. Marv,
9 times out of 10, he'll say the most logical thing. 9 times out of 10. There'll be that one time where I got to look at him at the corner of my eye.
I want to see what you're going to say.
Okay? How much does attraction matter or play a role in a relationship? So, ladies, do you need to be attracted to your partner in order for the relationship to start or to even last? And then, fellas, same question, vice versa to you. Is attraction important? For you to talk to a person, do you need to be attracted to them? Marv.
Oh.
Thank you.
Here you go. All right.
Oh, the glasses is out.
Right now. Who are we talking to right now?
Oh, the glasses is out.
Is it Marv or
T-Mac? How you been?
All right. See, that's not
seeing those glasses at the Wusu takeover.
You sure did.
Go ahead and tell the people who we're talking to right now.
Well, listen, you know.
Dude, boy.
Attractions
can be. I can't even take him serious.
With anything. It doesn't have to also be looks. It could be the mind. I'm attracted to the mind and your soul and your body as well. So all things, mind, body, and soul. So first, visually, I see you and I say, okay, maybe I like her smile, maybe her eyes. But after that, to keep the attraction, I need to know what your intellect is like.
So attraction does
play a part. Attraction does play a part because that's the first thing that you see.
Mm-hmm.
So an ugly girl can't come up to you.
See, there's no such thing.
All right, so I'm gonna go out. I'm about to go out there.
Is the eye of the revolver? Listen.
You full of it. I'm about to go outside this studio right now, and I'm gonna find a shorty off the street. Okay, I'm gonna bring her in here. Her mind, body, and soul is gonna be beautiful. But I'm gonna bring her in here. Okay. Tears. And you telling me no matter what she look like, as long as her mind, body, and soul is beautiful, you're okay.
So he wasn't listening.
I need to know. I need you to clarify.
What I clarified earlier, saying, you know, maybe her smile gets my attention first. Or maybe she has beautiful eyes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's an attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has different attractions. For, I'm just
so you like the smiling eyes.
I love smiles and eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to make sure she got nice eyes and a nice smile.
And then, you know. But if she's dumb as rocks, Dr. Me's gotta lay back.
Oh my God.
Dr. Me's gotta lay back.
What does Marv think?
He's not here right now.
Oh, is he coming back?
We'll see.
I need for him to come back. Man. Dr. Me's is crazy.
But
Mike, yeah,
but T Mac, what about you?
It's your turn, Mike. It's your turn. Let us know.
I mean,
because I know you like them different.
What do I like them like?
You like them different.
Like what?
Different.
I mean, you clearly speaking on my behalf.
Mess with your friends or something. You like them different.
You clearly speaking on my behalf. So what do I like?
Go ahead. Let us hear your opinion. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyways, Dr. Me's pretty much said it all. I mean, attraction is very important. You're gonna spot somebody from a distance, whether it be far, whatever, and whatever your eyes see first is usually the first, you know, sense that you're going to get mentally, emotionally, whatever the case may be. Me personally, before you can even get to that conversation, interaction, interpersonal communication, you notice somebody's presence, what's around them, their aura. Great class. You notice their presence, their aura, what's around them, what movements are taking place as this person moves. That's the initial attraction. And then something that, you know, Marv also alluded to, that's when you make the move. And then you get to find everything else. There's the eyes you see, smile, smell is an attraction. Someone can smell a certain way and you be like, damn, even your smell has brought me closer to you just off of that. So
if she just smelled good.
I'm saying it's a part of it all.
If
somebody has shades on like Marv does, you don't see the eyes. You get the smile, you see the hair, you see how they look. Everything comes along with it.
See, T-Mac, what we trying to tell you?
She don't understand.
I hear you.
Beauty is not just one piece. It's pieces.
All right. I hear that. But I'm just going to be realistic right now because I feel like y'all two are trying to give it, you know, the sugar-coated version.
I tell you, sugar-coat nothing in a long time.
I'm on
when you out.
Vegan.
Or you on your social media and you want to talk to somebody and you scrolling through. The first thing that, you know, you go off of is their looks. You know, but oh my God, like, he's cute. Oh, she's cute. Oh, look at, like, you know, like, you're going to go off of those looks.
Absolutely.
Yes, what your eyes see is tells a lot.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you yelling at me?
Maybe because you ain't understanding what we both are saying to you.
I'm understanding what you guys are saying.
Absolutely.
So can you answer now?
I'm giving my opinion.
Okay, sorry.
Go ahead, man.
Goodness gracious, I really can't. Anyways, so for me, I feel like attraction does play a big part. And not because I wanted to, I just think because as humans, it just naturally does. You know, we're not gonna, if a dude came up to me, he looking all sloppy or whatever, and he wanna talk to me, I'm not even gonna think twice, like, oh, his mind, body, and spirit. I'm like, you look sloppy, like, I'm all set. Like, you know, like, just off of the attraction right there.
Mm-hmm. The initial, you know, attraction.
The initial attraction. Like, I feel like that's what most people will go off of is what you initially see.
What if,
before getting to know the person.
Oh, absolutely.
So you, if I heard this correctly, you cutting off from the initial attraction, you cutting off right there and then.
Unintentionally, I feel like that's what happens.
Mm.
So
if a dude, okay, so.
If he just came out like.
You need to open just came, up your third eye.
All right.
All right, Kyrie, we see you.
First impressions are everything, okay?
No, I agree,
I agree. Like you said, like, you know, if a guy is, you know, trying to talk to me or whatever, and his breath stink, I can't stand there and have a conversation with you.
What if you just hand him a tic tac? Hold on, baby girl. 1 second. Here you go. Continue.
See, now, you think a girl really going
to Marv bold. Marv bold, one. Two, Marv about? Not doing that.
See, Dr. Mies got to go. Please bring Marv back, because Marv wouldn't do that. Dr. Mies is on some other stuff. Like, I'm sorry, but that initial attraction is
no, I agree. I agree.
Be a make or break if first you continue that Jewish conversation.
Yeah, I think, you know? I'm like all of us here, we are blessed to have our eyes, our vision, our sight. So whatever you see first is going to tell you a lot.
All right, so let me ask this. If you on social media, because social media is big, and this is how a lot of people be, you know, mingling now. A lot of people don't have the guts to do it in person no more. They always do it over social media. So not me, a lot of people be catfishing. You know, they look a certain way in their picture. And then you see them in person. Okay, so let's take it there. You meet somebody over social media. Their pictures is cute. She cute. Y'all hitting it off. Mind, body, and soul. Beautiful. She's smart. You know, got a good job. Her
talking about off of social media.
Off of social media, all right? Mm-hmm. Y'all schedule y'all date. Y'all been talking for a couple of days. And you like her. Like, her vibe, her voice. Y'all,
this is still off just social media.
Just social media. Y'all might have spoke over the phone, but never FaceTimed. Right. Only over the phone, okay? And you know, you feeling how y'all conversations is there. Y'all got a lot in common. Everything is smooth. You go to take shorty out to dinner. She do not look like what she's putting out there.
Oh, you talking like Smokey from Friday.
All right.
Please do.
So now.
Please do, Dr.
Your whole money, your body, mind, soul, spirit. Is that still going to suffice in what you just seen in person?
You see, catfish is a disguise.
Oh boy.
So when you disguise that, sometimes people are good at disguising their mind, body, and soul.
She wasn't disguising nothing. Oh. She just don't look how she look in her pictures.
When you disguise your appearance, that means something's not right with your mind, body, and soul. It's not aligned.
Something not clicking.
No, I'm being serious. It's not aligned, because right there you're not being your true self, your true form. I want to be attracted to someone who's being their true self. All right,
but let's do this. Let's not even say it was something drastic. Okay, let's just say, you know, in her pictures, she wore a lot of makeup. On the date, she didn't have no makeup. Or maybe in her pictures, she did a little Photoshop. You know, she tucked away that tummy. She gave herself a fat ass. Same thing. You see her in person, she got a whole gut with no booty. But she's still the same person, still has the same personality, right? The same degree, the same job, the same level head, the same goals in life. She's working towards something. She just
don't look the same.
She's just not what she looked like.
She's not.
That's
who,
it.
She not being who she claims to be already is a red flag. Because
she photoshopped her pictures.
Sam just said it best in the comments. You can't begin a relationship based off a lie. Terrible foundation.
Because that could just be one issue right there. Oh, not being, you know, being in self, what is it, self-conscious?
Yes.
With yourself, not believing who you are. Me, a person, we're going back to attractiveness. I love confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I love a woman who's confident. So if you're confident, that's already attractive right there.
Confidence is big.
So
confidence is big.
I think y'all are making it really drastic, and you're missing my point.
No, I got you. I got you.
I'm not missing anything. The truth.
Didn't I just say
the truth shall set you free?
What?
What did you say that was a lie?
Something is untruthful that we are speaking.
I just feel like, you know what I mean. You know how people make their pictures look. Like, they could just, the filters, and, you know, gloss it up or whatever.
Personally, I haven't seen that.
So, I'm saying, like,
do you do that?
Snatch that. I don't need no filter.
Hey.
I could put a filter on if I want to.
Hey.
But y'all see me live stream. You see, I ain't got no makeup on. You know, ain't no filter on these lenses.
Hey.
So, I'm just saying.
Hey.
Some people put that filter on, and hence how they look. But then you take that filter off, you see him in person, you be like, that's not you.
Hey. No, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Thank you.
I hear what you're saying. You know, I think it's different for different people, possibly.
I feel like for girls, it's just a little bit more intense, though.
Let's
get to it. You got the makeup. You got the filters that add, you know, the dog ears and the nose that cover up your.
I ain't gonna lie. I've seen pictures of a lady, and then I'll see him in person, and it's completely different. And I've been completely baffled and dumbfounded as to what happened. It has happened. These are not you know, ladies who I'm like, oh, I'm trying to pursue, go after. This is just, oh, I come across their picture on social media, see them in person, and it's completely different. So I know what you're talking about, but continue to talk about the lady perspective.
I think that as ladies, there's a lot more potential for a guy to be catfished. Guys don't necessarily put all those filters and makeup on, so I feel like I'm gonna cut y'all some slack right there. I do feel like the ladies kind of do be, you know.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
This came up in the topics.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick opinion. Can you become attracted to somebody?
Oh boy.
Say you just gave that whole big example of off rip. They don't look good, and you know, maybe they're cool. They don't look attractive. You're not attracted to them.
Not yet.
And you put them in, you say, all right, you know, you cool, whatever, but I ain't attracted to you. Still talk to you.
Friends, like,
what if. Can attraction come over time? Can your feelings change toward that person?
Yeah, yes. I think that definitely can happen. I've seen, you know, people start out as friends, not be attracted to each other or even look at each other like that. But then over time, as that friendship grew, they became attracted to each other. I think it's possible. I think, like, even if I was to meet somebody and I was to be their friend for a while and, you know, not even be attracted to them at first, I think that could still happen, you know?
Goes back to the mind, body, and soul.
Here we go.
Over time, your mind, body, and soul aligned.
So even though she catfished you, y'all still friends because you realize she's still the person she is, and y'all still remain friends, you know, because she cool peoples. And over time, because she has that mind, body, and soul.
I'm not saying that it could never happen.
Right.
Speaking for me personally,
mm-hmm.
I doubt it would happen. Because, like Sam talked about earlier, just starting off with a lie, that's already... Because we're talking about attractiveness, but we never spoke on turnoffs. That's already a turnoff right there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Turnoff is so huge.
That's already, you know, sparked in my mind. Then over time, we become friends somehow, some way.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened to lead to something else. I mean, it's possible. We've seen crazier things happen in relationships.
Yeah, nice.
I'm not even gonna say that. Go ahead and say it, Mike. What you got to say?
I mean, sometimes things just pop off over time. Maybe a drink or something mixed in between.
Oh,
I mean, it happens. It can happen differently for different people.
Chris song.
I had one more drink.
Yeah, that's Mike right there.
That's like ludicrous.
Beyonce.
That's ludicrous. Ludicrous sings that
music
song.
Video where it was like with the drink, without the drink, and how they look.
That's ludicrous' song.
My job here is done.
Oh my god.
That's ludicrous' song, not mine. I was just giving an example.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. I think over time, sometimes it could happen. It could.
Oh, we got Marv back in the building. Dr. Mies has left. Marv.
How you doing?
You could change your voice back.
Oh, you're talking about
I can't with you.
Oh man.
But Marv, you think it's possible over time that feelings and attraction could develop?
Absolutely. You know, I went to a seminar from Dr. Mies and he was talking about mind, body, and soul.
Okay.
And that can all develop later on. So I think that maybe because off of initial things, attraction can grow. Like, maybe we like the same shows and we just start clicking off about the shows.
Mm-hmm. And it blossoms from there.
And, you know, that just blossoms, like Mike says. So, yes, attraction can grow over time, even in the initial. Because we always talk about first impressions means everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not.
It's not everything.
Right, first impressions mean a lot, but it's not everything. It's okay. Not the all deal breakers. For some people, yeah sure, but. You're going to have a second T-Mac. Impression. You're going to have a third. Like,
no, T-Mac says she set the first impression. No. She set. That's what you said.
It's not like that. Okay, I'm just saying, like, if you're trying to talk to me, let's just say, like, you're not coming up to me trying to be my friend. Like, you're coming up to me like you want to talk to me. Like, you want to take me out. You want to get to know me. You want to eventually be my man. You come up to me and your breath stink or like you just looking crazy, like I'm gonna be like,
just an off day for somebody though.
All right, so come up to me on an on day.
But what? Oh, so they should try again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, everybody deserves second chances. Ah,
okay.
But yeah. I'm just saying, like, that so initial.
Always shoot your shot, is what you're saying?
Don't stop shooting.
Yo, shoot your shot.
Living in the boulevard.
You heard it. I'm back. It's Marvin the Building.
No,
don't shoot your stop. Shot. 2K19. No.
Shooting.
That's what we doing. We shooting, fella. If she denied you once, she goes, she could try again. She denied you 2 times. Try again. We out here.
They, yeah, listen, consistency is key because
wow.
Hey,
preach.
Yo, we if she sees you being consistent, she gonna be like, "That boy got heart. That do, boy determined." And that right there, that's
check my phone after this show here.
Your mind that shows her that you're determined and you're willing to take that L after L until you get that wow. Dove. So go ahead, y'all do y'all. I'm out of it now because y'all can't.
Where you preach at? What's the name? What time that service start?
Everybody's summer doing this. So y'all,
what time that service start? Because I'll be there.
That's that hot girl mentality.
Okay.
Shooting, huh? I'm done. Hey, yo, I got the song. Please, show, Mark.
Hold on. Before we wrap up, I do, if y'all don't mind, I do got to make a quick announcement.
Yes.
So today, if you can see from my hat, people are watching, it is National Vitiligo Day. And it's also Vitiligo Awareness Month. The reason why today is National Vitiligo Day is because of Michael Jackson's death. And for those of you who maybe don't know, Michael Jackson had vitiligo. People want to say, oh, he dyed his skin to look different, this and that. Michael Jackson had vitiligo. And I think to just combat him possibly having, you know, spots of dark and light on his skin, he probably just decided to go all the way light just to make it even all around. I want to shout out National Vitiligo Day. Shout out to my parents, who both of them actually have vitiligo. I want to give a shout out to them. If you want more information about vitiligo and things happening with it, support all of that going on with it, vitfriends.org. Check it out. Wanted to shout that out real quick if y'all didn't mind.
That's good. People need to know. Keep put them informed.
Type that down in the chat, and you know, we'll definitely spread the word throughout. One more time, what is the website?
Vitfriends.org.
Vitfriends.org. That's dope. One last thing, I wanted to end off with something as well. It is, like we said, you know, it's the summertime.
Yes.
We're doing here summertime. And unfortunately, the city gets real hot.
Absolutely.
In the summertime. You know, if you're from the Boston area, wherever you guys are, you know, any big cities, you know what happens once the weather gets hot.
A lot of hot, don't know how to think.
A lot of violence. A lot of violence happens. A lot of killings, a lot of shootings. And it happens every summer. People in the Boston area, please be careful, be safe, don't be by yourself, especially women. Do not be by yourself at night. We already spoke about, you know, situations that happen when women are by themselves. Men, take care of your sisters, take care of your brothers who you are out with. You know, we lost someone in the community, you know, close to our age, in our range, Corey Dash, rest in peace to him, due to senseless violence. So just everyone, please be safe out there. Take care of one another.
That's
absolutely
right.
Absolutely.
Y'all both gave something that y'all wanted to end the show off with. Y'all making me feel like I need to, you know,
speak on anything
something.
You want.
I ain't really got nothing to say.
Yeah, I was just about to add.
I get y'all next show. I'm going to be prepared. But
you just gave that awesome sermon real quick. That was big right there.
You just opened up a lot of minds.
You gave a lot of hope to the hopeless.
I just want to say that both of y'all can get slapped with no problem. Okay?
Gave hope to the hopeless.
All the open triangles I've gotten,
I'm done.
Fill them right back up, Marv. Fill them right back up.
Us out now.
This
they
is
witness something.
The Double M Show. Mike Nice.
Yes, sir.
T-Mac.
Hello.
I'm Marv. DJ Mees. This was a great show. Thank you for everyone that was in the comments. Y'all made this show popping. If you are new, check us out every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Shout out to CLNS Media, Massive Media. This is the Double M Show, where the sports and urban life collide.